Thanks for listening to messages here at First Baptist Church Monticello. We are a multi-generational church in the panhandle of Florida that is committed to worshiping our great God, growing closer to Jesus Christ, serving God by serving others, and sharing the good news about Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Be sure to like us on Facebook and listen to our messages anytime on our website, fbcmonticello.org. Thanks for being part of our FBC family, and enjoy the message.
Thanks, Christy. We're looking forward to seeing that again Easter Sunday. And even before Easter Sunday comes, I'm going to give the men a permission to sing that song a few octaves lower than Christy can sing it, okay? So we don't have to worry about trying to reach the rafters like she can. We can just sing, just do our thing. That's what men do. We just sing what we can sing. And we don't know maybe what part that's hitting or not, but we're singing and praising God along the way. Listen, about 7 weeks ago, we started a series on the last words of Christ from the cross. And it was one of the surprising things about this series is how difficult it's been having Jesus on the cross week after week after week. Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours that Friday, and we've had Jesus on the cross longer than that as we've preached through this series. So I'm really glad that we are getting to the end of this series where Jesus comes down off the cross and is placed in that borrowed tomb and is resurrected from the dead. But we still have Jesus on the cross one more week. And this is a passage of scripture that we're going to look at. This is the final time that Jesus speaks from the cross. So if you have your Bible, open it up, and we are going to look to Luke chapter 23. As we look into God's word today, the last words of Christ from the cross, these are going to be words of trust. And so we're going to read Luke 23, verse 44. And once you find your place, please stand in honor of the reading of God's word. Luke 23, verse 44. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness the sight saw what took place, they beat their breast and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the opportunity you've given your family to meet in your house to worship your name. And so, Father, we pray that you would use this passage to speak to our hearts. Father, thank you for that. What Jesus did for us on the cross changes everything in our life. So, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last words are important, and these are Jesus' very last words from the cross before he gives up his spirit, the spirit that was not taken from him, but the spirit that he freely gave. And I want you to notice, number one on your message notes, safe in the Father's hands. That's what Jesus, he committed his spirit into the Father's hand because he knew that he was safe in his Father's hand, that he could trust him. So let's look at some things in this passage of scripture that we just read. The first thing I want you to notice about this passage is that creation is in mourning as Jesus is hanging on the cross. The beginning of the book of John describes to us how Jesus was the creator of all things. And now somehow that creator of all things is hanging on a cross and he's about to die. And look at what this passage says about what happens with creation. It was about noon. He had been on the cross since 9 a.m., so he's there 3 hours, and then this happens at noon. And it says darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And so for 3 hours, there was this supernatural darkness that fell over the land. It's almost as if creation is starting to fold in on itself, that creation is starting to come apart because the Creator is hanging on the cross moments away from breathing his last breath. Listen, this was no ordinary man that was hanging on the cross. This was Jesus the Christ. This was Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He's hanging on the cross and he is about to die and it gets dark. But listen to that phrase right at the end of that, in the beginning of verse 45, where it says, "For the sun stopped shining." Listen, I believe that if Jesus hadn't completed his work and rose from the grave, then all of creation would have just fallen apart. Because it's him that is holding it all together. He's got the whole world in his hands and he's holding it all together. And so the clouds grow dark. And I wonder what that would have been like. And see, this was more than a solar eclipse like we experienced in our area, our country, like last year. We experienced it and it happened a few moments and it passed by. It was about 15 minutes for the person that was right in the path. It was about 15 minutes long. Listen, this is something that happened for 3 hours. And this passage of scripture says, the sun stopped shining. It grew dark. Creation was mourning because Jesus was on the cross. And this shows that this was not just an ordinary man on the cross. This was the Creator King, and he was dying on the cross for our sins. The sun stopped shining. You know, we go through times in our life where it seems like the sun has stopped shining in our life. Things are especially dark. You know, there's that phrase that says that it's darkest before dawn. And people want to, you know, argue about it's not any darker right before dawn than it is any other part of the night. I think they're really missing the whole point of that idea of it being darkest before dawn. It's darkest right before the light shines. It's darkest right before the light goes on. And it's not a matter of is it darker than at other times. It's a matter of that darkness compared to the light, because once the light shines through, it changes everything, and the darkness is dispelled and the darkness is gone. And so creation is mourning. Also notice in this passage that we have a changed access to God. Our access to God has been changed because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Right there in verse 45, it says, "And the curtain of the temple was torn in two." In the temple, the earthly dwelling place of God, there was a huge tapestry that was 60 feet high, and it was very thick, and it protected people from going into the most holy place, because if they went into the most holy place, they would surely die. And it was in this most holy place that the priest would go once a year to make atonement for the people's sins. And so what happens in this passage, as Jesus is breathing his last, is this passage talks about this veil in the temple being torn in two from the top to the bottom. And what that does is it changes our access to God. Before this point, our access to God was in the outer temple. There was still something separating us from him, namely our sin. And because we have our sin, if we dared to go into that most holy place where the Spirit of God dwells, we would die. And so what Jesus does is he becomes our once and for all high priest that pays the penalty, that pays the atonement for our sin, and that tears that veil from top to bottom, so that we now have access into the most holy place by the blood of Christ. Listen, that changes everything for us. You see, we don't have to go to a priest in order for God to hear us. We can go directly to him. We don't have to go through a mediator. We don't have to go through someone in order to get to that most holy place, because Jesus paid the price for us. We now have direct access to God. Listen, that's huge for us. because we have God who is our Heavenly Father that's attentive to our prayers and attentive to our needs, and we can go directly to Him, and it's only because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And listen, it's also striking in this passage that the veil of the temple was torn, the curtain of the temple was torn from top to bottom, showing that God did that. It was the work of God tearing it from top to bottom. It was 60 feet high. I don't know that it would take some machinery or take some scaffolding or something to get to the top of it. It was God that did that because the sins were paid and there was now no need for a protection for people. Listen, the temple, the veil of the temple was really there as a protection for the people, because if they went into that holy place, they would die. So God made the people of Israel create a veil there. But now, because of what Jesus did on the cross, there's no need for that veil, because we all, by the blood of Jesus, have access to the most holy place. And we can say, thank you, God, that we now have access to you, that we don't have to go to a priest. We don't have to make sacrifices on an annual basis. We don't have to travel to a city and do all of this stuff that was part of the sacrificial system of the Old Testament. We have a once and for all Lamb of God that was sacrificed for the sins of the world, and his work is finished. We have changed access to God. Notice also in this passage that Jesus has complete trust to the end. Jesus isn't getting to the end of his life wondering how things are going to work out. He's not concerned about this. He has full confidence in what God is doing in this moment. Jesus called out in a loud voice so that others could hear and we could write it down. He's crying out to God, his third prayer to the Father, when he says, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he said this, he had breathed his last. Listen, Jesus was focused on completing what God had given him to do. And as he got near his final breath, he knew that God was right there and the mighty hands of God would carry him forward. Listen, he wasn't worried about what was next. He wasn't worried about any of that some people worry about at the end of their life. He had full confidence in his Heavenly Father as he drew near to the end of his life. Listen, I've done many funerals as a pastor, and it is so amazing the grace and peace that God gives people at the end of their life. And it's such a testimony of their faith when they enter those days with full confidence that this is not the end, that God's got them, that because of what Jesus did for them on the cross, they don't have to fear death. You see, we can find a lot of confidence because each one of us has an expiration date. And that date is getting closer and closer. But listen, we don't need to fear that date. We don't need to fear it at all, because just like Jesus entered that last breath as he entered that next phase, we know that God's got us. That we can say the same thing that Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit," when we come near the end. He had complete trust. What a great Savior we have, that he shows us what it's like to die with faith. What it's like to die trusting our Heavenly Father that he is going to take care of us. And listen, when death comes, it's really a great graduation to what lies beyond this life. Listen, in this life, there's toil and there's trouble and there's work. But what lies on the other side of this life is glory. What lies on the other side of this life is being face to face with our Savior, Jesus Christ, in a perfect place where there's no more sin and there's no more pain and there's no more world, where we can spend our eternity with him. Listen, that's why Jesus is on the cross, is so that we can have that same hope and that same confidence that he had as he completely trusts his Father in these last words. But notice also in this passage that he gets the attention of this Roman centurion that's been there on guard. And this Roman centurion praises him. Centurion praise. In verse 47, and it says, the centurion, seeing what had happened, he'd been witnessing this whole thing, he praises God. Praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." This centurion sees that Jesus didn't die like people normally die on the cross, and he sees the cloud dark, and he hears what Jesus is saying, and he praises God and he agrees with God that this is a righteous man. Listen, even the rocks will cry out his praise. And he gets praise from this centurion. But what happens next is there's this contrast between the condemning crowd beats their chest. The people that are standing there watching what's going on, they beat their chest as Jesus breathes his last. Listen, this was the group that yelled, "Crucify him," this condemning crowd. This was the group that was there that said, "Crucify him," and now they're just watching the show unfold in front of them. And they're waiting for Jesus to breathe his last, and then they beat their chest, and they're saying, "Good, I'm glad he's gone," and they turn around and walk away. Listen, there are a lot of people like that around us all the time. They're not connected with Jesus. They don't have a relationship with Jesus, and they would just as soon Jesus leave them alone. And listen, he will. And this was the condemning crowd, and they beat their chest, and they turn, and they leave. I can't imagine being like this. I mean, this is a person that has died on the cross. I mean, this is a life that is now gone, but these people's hearts are so hard that they literally beat their chest and they speak words against Christ and they turn and walk away. But that is contrasted by these close companions in this passage as well. It says in verse 49, "But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee," specific people, "they stood at a distance watching all of these things." Listen, these are the people that were there with Christ at the very end. Now listen, not everybody was there. He had all of these followers pressing in on him during his earthly ministry all the time, that it was hard for him to get a rest, or hard for him to get any alone time with the Father, because there was all this throng of people pressing in on Jesus. But now that Jesus is on the cross, the crowds are gone, and now there's just a small group of close companions that are watching everything from a distance. They're wondering what happens next. And listen, those close companions, those followers of Christ, are to be admired, because they were at least within sight of Jesus to the very end. But we know the rest of the story, that this really wasn't the end. He breathed his last and became quiet and still, but there was still a lot more to come. It had been a very busy week as Jesus had entered the city, and he is prepared to celebrate the Passover with his disciples, and he began to teach and cleanse the temple. And I wonder about these two guys on this video, two disciples on a mission. Check out this video.
This is a no-brainer. We do exactly what Jesus said. We go into town, we find the donkey with its colt,
I just don't understand why Jesus wants us to commit a crime. He wants us to steal a donkey.
No. Not steal. Borrow.
Oh, so we're just supposed to stroll into town, untie the donkey, and...
and say exactly what he said to say.
What is it? Oh, that the Lord has need of it?
Yes, and we'll return it.
What does that even mean, the Lord has need of it?
It's self-explanatory. Why are you being
so me? Because you all know that I'm the rule follower of the bunch. I just don't know why Jesus just didn't ask Peter to do this.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing.
This is so up Peter's alley. Steal the donkey, cause an uproar, that's his thing. Peter is the reason why banks chain their pens. Oh, I just don't want to go to jail. You know I hate one-ply toilet paper.
Lower your voice. Look, we're just going to do what Jesus says. What's the worst that could happen?
Oh, what's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen? I don't know. A cracked rib, a busted lip, the kind of name-calling that'll put you in therapy years down the road?
Stop it! Stop whining! Stop talking! Stop everything! Stop freaking out!
I don't mean to be judgy here, but someone needs to get the log out of their own eye.
You have trust issues. Serious trust issues.
You even know how many germs are in a jail cell, do you?
No, I don't. I'm sure it's a whole lot, okay? I don't know. And I don't know why Jesus wants us to get a donkey, and I don't know why people are gathering branches over here and lining the streets, but it just seems like there's something big is about to happen.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Go back. Why did you say I had trust issues?
Okay, let's make it about you.
What?
Think about it. Since we've been following him, we've seen him give sight to the blind. He's healed people with leprosy. He's raised people from the dead. From the dead? I can't even raise you from a nap. Hey, I think we can trust him with this donkey issue.
That's just it. I have trust issues. I see how Jesus trusts the Father. He trusts so much, even more than the ground that I'm standing on. To trust someone like that, I just can't even imagine.
Yeah. But if you're going to trust someone, that's him, right?
Oh. Okay, all right, let's do it. We got this.
Right.
You first.
Baby steps.
Hey, when we get there and we grab said donkey, maybe I really should leave like a Benjamin.
No.
A 20 spot?
No.
A thank you card?
Stop it.
All right, I'll trust him.
We all have trust issues. And as we gaze upon Jesus hanging on the cross, saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, we can have confidence that we too can trust him, that he is trustworthy. Number three on your message notes is 6 hours one Friday. Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours. And it was an amazing thing that he did as he said these seven sayings from the cross. He looked down from the cross once he was up there, and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He did that so that we could be forgiven too. That even our darkest secrets, even our worst sins, they could be forgiven as well. And when Jesus was on the cross, when our Jesus was on the cross, he looked to his right and to his left, and there were criminals there. And during their conversation, one of the criminals' hearts softened towards Jesus, and he said, remember me. And Jesus said, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And he said that so that we could witness Jesus giving him salvation that he didn't earn. And listen, we get salvation the same way. It's not something that we earn. And so he gave this criminal salvation so that we too could know that we could go to heaven as well, and we could have this salvation. When he was on the cross, he looked down and he saw his mother and he saw his beloved disciple, one of his closest friends, one of the members of his inner circle. And he said, Mother, behold your son, speaking of John. And then spoke to John and said, Son, behold your mother. And he was saying, take care of mom while I'm gone. He was taking care of his family. And he was demonstrating what he'll do to us as we join his family, as we find a place in God's family that we will be taken care of as well. And then when Jesus was on the cross, he looks up to heaven in his second prayer and he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? He was forsaken by the Father so that we would never be forsaken. So that God turned his back on his Son so that he would never turn his back on us because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, he was fully human and fully divine, but he got thirsty. And they offered him something, a bitter drink. And that's all this world ever offered Jesus was bitterness and resentment and persecution. But listen, Jesus was thirsty on the cross so that we, like the woman at the well, could have living water so that it would well up in us to eternal life. Jesus and what he did on the cross, it changes everything for us. And then when Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. Remember, we looked at that last week. Tetelestai. The debt is paid in full. He had finished the work that he had came to do, and he had paid the sin debt for the world once and for all. So this veil in the temple, this curtain in the temple, could be rent in two, so that we could have access to that holy place. He finished what he came to do, and it changes everything for us. And then, of course, when Jesus was on the cross, he said, and we looked at that this morning, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He set an example for us that we can know that we can enter those last days of our life with confidence, with full assurance that because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, God has got us in his mighty hands, and there's nothing that will ever take us from his hands. Listen, these 6 hours, this one Friday, wasn't just any other Friday. It was the Friday that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and because he did, it changes everything. It changes everything in our lives because now we can know that we can be forgiven. And number 4 on your message notes there is changed at the foot of the cross. Now we can know that we can be forgiven. We know that salvation is available. We know that we can belong to God's forever family. That we can draw close to God because he'll never abandon us. That we can drink deeply at the living water, at the well that is known as Jesus. And we can have confidence in the finished work of Christ because Jesus was confident to the very end. Changed lives at the foot of the cross. You know, I was thinking, what difference does the cross make in our life? What does it enable us to do? Well, it enables us to worship our great God. We were created to worship. It, because our sin is gone, we can worship our great God. You know what? It also means that we can grow closer to him. We can be conformed into the image of Christ, grow closer to Jesus Christ. It enables us to do that. It also enables us to look beyond ourselves, to look to the needs of others, and to serve God by serving others. That's what the cross offers for us. It's a life not focused on ourselves, but focused on others and focused on Christ. And it also allows us to share the good news about Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. It allows us to worship, grow, serve, and share. And listen, that's what our church is all about, those 4 things. We gather to worship, we serve, deliberately serve, looking to the needs of others. We grow in our faith, and we share the good news about Jesus. Listen, the cross changes everything. These words from the cross show us how God feels about us. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's what he did on the cross. But listen, Jesus didn't stay on the cross. After he breathed his last and he was dead, soldiers came by and they were going to break his legs because that would speed up the dying process on the cross, and they broke the legs of the criminals on the cross. But when they got to Jesus, he was already dead. I mean, he had been tortured, he had been beaten, he had been flogged almost to death. I mean, he was already dead. And so they put that spear in his side, and he was dead. So they did not break his legs. And so that also was a prophecy that was perfectly fulfilled about Jesus, that his bones would never be broken. And so Joseph, a businessman in Jerusalem, goes to Pilate and gets permission to take his body down. And he takes it down and he places Jesus in a tomb that he had. It was the borrowed tomb, Joseph of Arimathea. And so Jesus is there. And the women follow to see what they're going to do with Jesus' body because they're going to prepare incense and myrrh so that they can come and anoint his body and give him a proper burial. And so Jesus is there in the tomb, and we know what happens on Sunday morning. It's the cornerstone of the Christian faith is that Jesus didn't stay dead, that he rose from the dead. And when the women got there early that Sunday morning, he was already gone. That's what we're celebrating this season. That's why we're doing our Easter musical, because he lives, amen. We're going to celebrate the risen Jesus. And in 2 weeks from this morning, we are going to gather on Resurrection Sunday to celebrate the risen Lord. And all of that is possible because he finished the work the Father gave him to do. Rembrandt, the famous Dutch artist, did something interesting. He painted many pictures of Bible scenes, and he would, and he was a master painter. And there's this one picture called Rising of the Cross that Rembrandt painted. You can look this up. And in this picture, he painted himself in the picture. And he really stands out because he's in like baby blue and he's got a painter's hat on and a blue jacket. I mean, he was all matchy-matchy for that day. But he's right there at the cross and he painted himself in that picture. And so as we've spent these weeks, I wonder where you've taken your spot at the cross. Listen, it's when we come to the foot of the cross that we understand the sin in our life and we understand our great need for him. And I wonder if you in your heart are beating your chest and you're glad for Jesus to stay away, or if you're like those followers that stayed with him to the end. Listen, we're going to have a moment of invitation, and if you have a decision to make, whether that's to receive Christ or to join our church, to be baptized or any other spiritual decision you have, I'll be down here at the front as our musicians play. This would be a great time for you to pray and thank God for the cross, thank God for the season that we're celebrating. This would also be a great time for you to pray for your one, that person you put on that card that you put here at the front. So let's have a word of prayer. Please stand and we'll start our commitment time. We're so thankful for our Savior Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these moments that we can spend committing them to you. Father, we thank you for your son's completed work on the cross. Father, it changes everything. So Father, be with us now as we ponder what it means in our own lives and how that should change our lives. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.